a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nightside Project.
As long as I'm with you guys, I'm always in the fake good place.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's weird, though, doing the show while we're miles apart.
That's actually my favorite part. I cannot social distance myself from you enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for jumping on the show with us tonight, a special limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project. You know, well, we're all kind of working out what's going on, and I don't think I need to go any more into it than that.
What is going on? You sound like you have some sort of an insight there that we don't have.
No.
You're not telling us something, Millard, about COVID?
Look, not any more than anyone else. We're just making this up as we go along. So, you know, let's just give each other space and stay cool. Alex,
yes,
what we want to do, though, and we've been doing this a lot on the show, a little bit of dreaming, a little bit of fantasizing about the things that we're going to do and see and places we're going to be and go.
It's not been a little bit. It's actually been our entire, probably the entire, effort of our show is figuring out how to just kind of get through. Now, I know that one of the things that you've been really excited about is getting back to cruises. I know that one of the things that
you say back to cruises, but I've never been on a cruise before in my life.
I know. I'm just saying you're getting back to dreaming about cruises.
Because yes.
As long as I'm your friend, Ethan, I will tackle you on the way to that
just
cruise.
Just come with me.
No.
We'd have
fun. We would have fun.
We would have so much fun.
Ethan, I'm scared out of my mind thinking about going on a cruise. And I've been on cruises before, and I love them. And guess what? I still am worried about it. But we're going to start things out because everybody's wondering exactly what it's going to be like to get back to a quote-unquote normal when it comes to our vacations or our traveling. Not even vacation, just traveling in general.
Yeah.
It's all part of the Vacation Club to kick the show off this evening.
The places you want to go and how to get there. It's the Nightside Vacation Club. Get a free night's stay, but you have to stay for the whole presentation.
Call now, and Ethan will try to get you out of that timeshare.
Yeah, I will.
He'll call the timeshare company up, and he'll get you out of it.
Listen, Alex,
what
and
up?
Everyone, you know the word hero is thrown around a lot these days. But JetBlue is committed to keeping the middle seat closed on all their flights through early July.
Yeah.
So on their Airbus aircraft, the middle seats are empty.
So,
and then on the smaller smaller aircraft that just have the two seats on the...
They're doubling up. They're putting that middle seat on those smaller craft. So you're actually going to be sitting in the lap of a stranger. Yeah.
Some of them are going to go upside down, nested, all kinds of...
You know when you're one of the last people to load onto the plane and you open up the overhead bin because you think there's going to be a spot right above your spot. No. There's a person in there.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
With a mask on.
Yeah. Oh, because they got to be safe. So that's a good deal.
Well, that's smaller aircraft, they're going to keep the aisle seats free.
Interesting.
Those smaller, you know, the little small ones where they're just two on each side.
Yeah, sure.
So the aisle seats stay free. So I think this is fantastic.
I'm not kidding. I'm not joking when I say that I would be interested in taking, if I had somewhere to go, Ethan, I would take a trip right now. Absolutely. But I have nowhere to go. There's nowhere for me to go. That's the depressing part about all this, Ethan, is that this is like the cheapest and most exciting, well, not exciting, but the most like you'll feel best about you. There are already the times when you get on the plane and you go, I hope no one's sitting next to me. Now you don't have to hope. No one is going to be sitting next to you.
That's an amazing
time. It's a great time to be traveling. But now, of course, the irony is you have nowhere to go. So you have that. But, Ethan, I wanted to bring something up that I just saw since we're talking about traveling and vacation, the vacation club. Complaints against airlines in March.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea what direction they went? Because, look, nobody's traveling right now.
All complaints have gone up.
By a factor of four.
Really?
They had the most complaints about airline travel over the past month than they've had in years.
You know what I think it is?
And I, in my Ethan, I in my mind,
what
I'm going.
What do you think it is?
It's people that are stressed out. I think it's less about. Well, and I think it's airlines that are dealing with something that we haven't dealt with in a long time too. I think it's airlines that are like, hey, we're trying to get through this too. Airlines who said, yeah, we're going to keep the middle seat open, and then they didn't. And then suddenly they go, I told the middle seat was open. They go, yeah, but we got to get these other people. But imagine those other people who couldn't go anywhere. Ethan, I don't know. I would have a hard time complaining about airlines right now, but at the same time, I would be – I don't know. We're just stressed out. I'm more grumpy at my kids these days than I've ever been. So I would imagine that I'd be the same with strangers right now.
So this is a good opportunity because I agree with you. I think it's a combination of things. I think it's people being a little on edge, maybe more inclined to complain about something, yeah. Maybe feeling like there's safety issues that need to be addressed. Everyone's kind of approaching this a little differently. But also, with everyone working from home and the regular workflow really disruptive, it must just be hard to give good service.
Yeah,
I think a lot of companies are struggling with just their basic workflow.
Well, think about where you are causing
problems.
Think about where you are in your regular jobs out there. People who are listening, things are just different, and you're in a rhythm when it comes to quote unquote normal business, and that's the same way with these airlines. Look, when we flew the most recently that I flew, we did an international flight, and the lady, it's awesome to see. One of the ladies at the American Airlines counter just absolutely like in her zone. You know what I mean? She's mm-hmm. like, I come up to the thing and I start talking to her. She's like, I got this. Boom, 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 boom. But that was when travel was quote unquote normal, right?
Yeah.
So now when everything's thrown for a loop, imagine her not being able to. I guarantee she would have said, I don't have time for that. Or I can't help you with that right now. Or that's the least of my priorities right now, sir. Can you put some pants on? It's an airport. And then, that's what I'm assuming that would be said to me.
Our last item for Nightside Vacation Club is Southwest is rolling out water and snacks now.
They're
on their flights.
They got rid of them?
Well,
so they weren't.
They haven't been serving food on these flights.
Well, I knew they weren't serving food, but like
it's just been
water?
A bunch of people on there afraid for their lives, apparently.
But like, if I was on a flight and somebody handed me a bottle of water with their glove,
I would absolutely take it.
But I'm glad to know they're doing it. But now, hold on a minute.
Would you ask for seconds?
Okay, so now if we're gonna go back to serving food and items on planes, can we? Maybe, okay, and you can send your text messages in 57500. If we're going to go back, resetting, what are some things we can do? I am going to put my foot down. We need to give everybody their own can of drinks, okay?
Yeah.
We're grown-ups. I do not need to be poured two-thirds of a can
like
of Mrs. T's Bloody Mary
time.
Mix. Yes, I don't need to get – and then you
– I love that you drink Bloody Mary mix on an airplane.
So stupid.
I think that's so amazing.
I'm one of those weirdos.
Do you ever drink Bloody Mary mix off of it when you're not on
Why would I? Why would I? Why would I? I see it at the store sometimes, and I'm like, those people are fools who are buying this. They can get in on a nice flight next time
for
they're going
free.
Out of town. No, but I'm serious. When they it's an insult. When they pour the cup – And
yeah.
then they holster it back into that can holder,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and I'm looking at it and I'm going, I need the whole can, lady. And the thing is you don't feel like you can ask for the can, especially
no, you can't.
Ethan, post COVID trying to ask for the rest of the can. That is going to be a tough deal. I think that the new policy should be this: rolling out snacks, give two of everything. And some companies do this. They're just like, look. Peanuts or they'll go pretzels or because there's no such thing as peanuts anymore on planes. They'll say pretzels or cookies, right? And then you have to make a decision. But I want both. And I don't have the guts. I don't have a high enough self-esteem to say both.
I think
I don't
it's
go,
inbounds.
Both.
I think that telling the flight attendant that you want more pretzels, I think that's an inbounds request. It's not a big deal. You certainly paid enough for the seat. They can kick you a 15-cent bag of pretzels if it cost them that much. And I think that's totally inbounds. I'll tell you what I think is out of bounds. And I've seen this a lot. And in fact, you're probably familiar with this. And this drives me up the wall. It is it's people who sit there in their seat as the flight attendants come down with the trolley, right? And you see them coming from a mile away. You see them coming at you for like
they
a half an hour.
They come down the aisle with the trolley.
Right? Yeah. The half an hour before they get to you.
Right. It's okay? It's the one-ton drink machine. Yeah.
And then so you have the guy with his headphones on, right?
Right.
And the flight attendant finally gets to his aisle, grabs a bag of pretzels, holds it out to him with a napkin, and says,
"Can I get you
would
something
you
to
like
drink?
Have something to drink?"
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy takes off his headphones and goes, "I'm sorry, what was that? Pardon me."
That guy's out.
I can't believe it. I'm like, listen, what do you think she said to you?
That guy, 100%.
What do you think were the words that came out of your mouth?
If that's a time that an air marshal needs to put somebody onto the aisle and with their elbow in the back of the head, it's that guy.
Are there zip ties on this flight?
We're turning this thing back around and we're landing in Honolulu because we can't do this.
I see that. I'm like, what on earth? 99% of the words that have ever been uttered to me in fact, nearly every word that's ever been uttered to me by a flight attendant has been good morning or, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, goodbye, and would you like something to drink?
Right.
I don't know what he thinks of saying. So just say Diet Coke.
I need a verbal yes. I need you to look at me in the eye and give me a verbal yes if you can sit on the exit row.
Zip ties.
All right. Let's take the break here. If you're like me and you only drink certain drinks on airplanes. By the way, no alcohol for you airplane booze hounds out there. Because listen, that's still not allowed. But send us your text 57500. More to go. The Nightside Project continues.
Nightside, we're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. We've got a few texts in on our previous topic.
Lots of folks who have their own. They only drink this drink when they're on the airplane. For like a lot of people, ginger ale is one of those things. You're like, I'd never go to the store and buy ginger ale. Yeah, yeah. But they're
only
like,
on airplanes.
Can I get the ginger ale? And I know it's supposed to. I know it's supposed to settle your stomach, but settle down. It doesn't.
Well,
settle
it's supposed
your stomach.
To help with nausea.
Okay.
So with motion sickness and stuff.
Yeah, okay. So this one says I only drink cranberry juice cocktail when flying. There you go. A lot of people rolling up and just saying I ask for the can and I get it every time.
But
I'm telling you, I have such flying low self-esteem. I'm like, can I get a bag of pretzels? And they're like, and I'm like, no problem. I don't need it. I didn't need it. And then they just say, hey, ask for it up front. Can I get a can of Coke? And they'll usually just oblige. And look, these flight people are professionals. Is that what you call them, flight people? I didn't want to offend anybody.
The flight attendants.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
You say flight attendant. You can't. We're phasing out stewardess. You probably can. It's not that big of a deal. But we are phasing it out because stewardess is no longer really correct, is it?
Right. No. Hey, before we get too deep into our next topic here, and you can send in what the thing is that you only drink on airplanes, because now they're going to go back to serving drinks again, but no alcohol on the airplane. So settle down. But I wanted to say Dr. Matt Woolley is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. And we've got voicemails, we've got actual emails, we've got things that people are weighing in on the program with, and Dr. Matt Woolley is going to answer some of those questions. You can always send your emails, nightside@ksl.com, and we will get those. But yeah.
Can I hit one last text?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Someone texted this in, and I thought it was interesting enough to share. I just had a patient tell me that she flew, and they handed her a Ziploc bag that had a bottle of water and a treat and sanitizing wipes in the Ziploc bag. So there you go. Apparently, they're starting to kind of open this up a little bit. But Alex, we're getting a lot of mixed economic news. I say mixed, really most of it's bad. The stock market's been flying high recently, but there are reasons for that are related to the economy, but also not necessarily
yes.
related.
Specifically, these are job related kind of items.
So 78% of Americans that have lost their job believe that they're going to get their jobs back. 78% believe they're going to be hired back on.
Right. I think this is a sad stat to me because the part of the story that's sad about it is that The research says that it's probably not that case.
That's right.
The
University of Chicago's Becker Friedman Institute predicts that 42% of the jobs lost in this coronavirus shutdown are permanent losses, which means that a lot of people are going to be very, very disappointed by what happens. And that's kind of the hard part. And I hear a lot of people ask me, Alex, well, how can the stock market be so high while the job losses have been so devastating?
Right.
And, you know, there are reasons for that. We don't have to go into it. But I think people are confused and really bothered by what's happening. Really bothered.
Yeah. But here's the reason that they say they think their job is going to come back, because I guarantee, to make the process a little bit easier just on themselves, on the temporary side of things, I think employers might not have been honest with their employees or themselves, and they started to say those things, right?
I bet most employers really would like to hire everyone back.
Oh, for sure. And they probably
right. it's becoming more and more clear. And honestly,
I bet at the beginning of all of it, they're like, hey, because what were we told at the very beginning? We're going to be
staying a few weeks.
You're staying at home for a couple of weeks. And that was what a lot of people were like, hey, yeah, I mean, I got to stay at home. I'm furloughed for a couple of weeks. My neighbor was like furloughed immediately on his job. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, I remember he was saying, he was very honest with himself about it. He goes, yeah, we're just in one of those industries that, you know, hopefully it comes back, but I don't know if it will. My boss thinks that it's going to happen. And I'm going, well, I'm sure your boss is saying they want you back and you're awesome. But I think that a lot of Americans have told themselves that, hey, yeah, I'm just going to get hired right back again. But the economy is going to be in a much worse spot, I think, in the long term than we're giving ourselves, than we're telling ourselves.
The Labor Department's April employment report shows a loss of 20.5 million jobs. That is a historic number. It's never been so many jobs so quickly. And the nation's unemployment rate is now 14.7%. Both numbers smash post-World War II era records. And it's you know what I think is another reason why so many people are confident that they're going to get their same old job back. And I think part of it is because of what the stock market's doing.
Oh, yeah.
People look at the stock market and there's this assumption that the stock market reflects what the economy is doing.
It certainly has been a weird disconnect.
But only in part. And people look at the stock market and they say, oh, well, we're almost out of this.
Ethan.
But boy, the distance between where we are and where we have to get to get back to full employment. Oh my gosh.
Ethan, NASA is back at it though. They want to get people back into the
They're going to put us to work?
Right, they're going to put us to work.
Let's do it.
Hold on, because I saw this offering. I thought this was a job. Is this a job? Oh no, they're going to pay you. Yeah. I saw the word job. I saw the word volunteers. I got weirded out by it. I said this is not an economy for that.
Are they
NASA,
saying that they want volunteers for the job?
Well, it says volunteers will be paid, and I'm thinking, well then that's not a volunteer. It's okay, so NASA is keeping the exact dollar amount secret, which is great or terrible. So it doesn't, who knows? But they're looking for volunteers to be a part of an 8-month lockdown Mars simulation, which you, by the way, all of us are 2.5 months into. So I just wanted to say, if you're good at not changing your pants on a daily basis,
Where's my check?
Then maybe you also could be ready for this. But yeah, Mars says that 8 months in lockdown. Now you have to be proficient in Russian. And Ethan, I guarantee that there will be, and here's the other thing they're requiring. Citizens have to be 30 to 55 years old, proficient in both Russian and English. Okay.
All right.
We have people in the state of Utah who definitely fall into that.
Yeah.
And then here are the other requirements. MS, required are MS, PhD, or MD requirements.
What's an MS?
Master's of Science, I think. So it's some sort of master's degree on, I think it's a master's of science. So completion of military officer training, possibly, or it says MS, PhD, MD, or completion of military officer training.
Okay,
so if you,
all right.
But military officer training is not just like having been in the military, obviously, either. But
no, it's just they're looking for officers. They're looking for officers.
Right. So they said there might be some professional experience with a bachelor's degree that gets you ready for this. Ethan, we have a lot of people, I bet, in the state of Utah who are ready for this. You've been preparing.
For sure.
All we're basically asking you to do is just tack on 8 months to this weird fever dream that has been COVID, and that's where we're at. Okay. We've got some news up around the corner here that is breaking here in the state of Utah. We have to get to it. We're going to take that break here. We'll come back. Dr. Matt Woolley is going to join us either next or very, very shortly. But yes, stay with us. News, traffic, and weather right now. Important news, traffic, and weather right here on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
Nightside, you've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, so, welcome back.
Ethan, sorry, I was just going to jump in here quick. Sorry.
Oh, all right.
My bad.
No, that's all right.
We had the Amber Alert during the break here, and I just wanted to make sure and clear up some information, too.
Awesome. So, that's right where I was going to go. So.
So the Duchesne County Sheriff is asking for the public's help in this, and the child abduction victim is identified by police as Jackson Barlow, 4 years old, last wearing a brown button-down shirt, blue jeans, black sneakers, sandy hair and blue eyes, 3'4" tall, weighs about 45 pounds. This happened in Fruitland, Utah, in Duchesne County. Suspect was driving a gray Nissan Altima that was kind of gargled in the automated message. And also, if you have information, you dial 911. Okay, that's number one. Okay, so if you have any information, you dial 911. That was kind of the automated system sometimes can get a little bit garbled, but we'll have another alert on these, and we'll try to keep clearing up some of this information.
So
we've had these happen periodically during our show in the evenings, and so it's and our Amber Alert system is one of those where it's a big deal here on our station because it goes out to the other stations.
Yeah, we originate the Amber Alerts. So just for an update, I wasn't sure exactly where this is, but if you're out on the roads, here's where you might kind of see something. So Fruitland is directly east of Strawberry Reservoir on Highway 40. So, you know, if you're anywhere in that area, if they're coming towards the Wasatch Front, you're going to see them first in Heber Midway area.
Right.
And then from there, they could go down into Utah County or up into Salt Lake County. But if they're coming this way, they're going to hit Heber first. How long ago was the abduction?
Don't know, but the first alert happened at 6:24. So you have but like you said, Ethan, Duchesne County Sheriff is the one who originated this. Fruitland, Utah. And the suspect was driving a Nissan Altima, dark gray. Nissan Altima. The child's 4 years old. His name's Jackson Barlow. So there you go.
All right. So if you see that dark gray Nissan Altima, 911. They're saying calling 911. They're looking for this kid. So and that's Fruitland again. If you're not sure where that is, it's on Highway 40, straight east of Strawberry Reservoir. So you're kind of out and about tonight, please keep your eyes open.
Ethan, we're jumping into that part of the week where we get to chat with Dr. Matt Woolley. Dr. Matt joins us on the program every week, every Wednesday evening at 6:35 to help us kind of wade through the mental health issues that have been popping up even more frequently now during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we want to be able to be a resource in that sense. So, Dr. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us on the program. And joining amid an Amber Alert is never the best thing, but that's what we do as a news station first. So thanks for being with us on the program.
Yeah, thanks to you guys for spending so much time on that. I think that's more important than anything else we do, and so I hope people are listening and paying attention.
So we have a couple of things. We're going to try something new as well this week because we have a couple of voice messages. So let's go first with this one that has to deal with, and I think that you have seen more of these. This has to do with virtual. It just says virtual funeral. Take a listen to a message that we got on our call line, 575-7668.
Hey, Dr. Matt. Nightside. Sorry about the road noise. I'm a trucker. I don't know if this is recording even, but I had a funeral for my aunt recently. She didn't die from COVID, but we had the virtual funeral. And these virtual funerals seem to be hard. And it was hard for me, and I wondered if long-term this is going to be an emotional problem for us, not be able to properly mourn. Thanks for all you do.
So the question was about a virtual funeral and how this has been tough, not being able to mourn kind of properly, I guess, is what he had said.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, I mean, of course, life and death go on during any sort of situation, and there are so many families currently that are, of course, trying to figure out how to do this, how to mourn the loss of a loved one during this pandemic time. And so a couple of thoughts. One is he's a very insightful person. Yes, it is very probable that if you don't go through that grief process, it will catch up to you later. And so grief is a very important thing to deal with. Don't shy away and don't use COVID-19 as an excuse to not properly grieve a loved one who's passed on. That being said, I realize it's harder to do than the typical ways and in-person ways. In addition, you know, a lot of people are having to do virtual funerals. But one thing that I've found other experts really recommending, and I feel like it's very, very well kind of from a cognitive psychology approach, is writing down your thoughts to the loved one that's passed on. You can do that in the form of a letter or just some thoughts, and then sharing those out and discussing them with other family members. Trying to do that in small groups in person is best. But even if people are spread around the country or around the state, we can't get together, or because of the pandemic, we can't get together. Sharing those, I know it makes you feel kind of vulnerable to write your thoughts and feelings down, but that's part of the process mm-hmm. of grief, and then sharing that and hearing feedback from your loved ones, family members, and friends is very, very important. And so small groups, writing things down and sharing them, in addition to whatever sort of funeral arrangements can be made, has been highly recommended.
Let's look also, let's go to another one of our voice messages as well here. This one coming in for Dr. Matt, and you can also leave one of these messages as well anytime during the week, 575-7668. Take a listen.
Hey, you got a question for Dr. Matt Nightside. I'm worried that I'm getting even further and further depression during this time. Have you seen any uptick in people who have battled depression before, going deeper into the whole, during this whole pandemic thing?
I was asking about going further into that depression hole during all of this and how to kind of battle that.
Yeah, of course. That's a great question. Very timely. The uniqueness of the situation and it creates depression or exacerbates people's pre-existing depression. And primarily that has to do with focusing on all of the uncertainties of the future. You know, not being able to necessarily even plan a few days or weeks in advance. Can we go on vacation? You know, those sorts of things. What's our future looking like? Feeling trapped in your home. I think knowledge is always power. So I would definitely recommend be realistic about what you can and can't do. Don't assume you can't do certain things with the code going to yellow in most places. Let's educate yourself. But the main thing is be focused in the present. What can I do today? If you are somebody that's stuck at home today, listening, feeling depressed, look at the power that you have in your day or even this very evening. Who can you reach out to? On our podcast, we often talk about connection, and connection is key to mental health. If you're feeling disconnected, you're probably feeling depressed. So how can you reach out and talk to people? And even if you just get outside and go for a walk and see all the other people that are starting to re-experience life. But if you feel yourself slipping into that depression, definitely reach out. If you feel alone and you don't have friend and family support, then the Safe Utah app is something that I highly recommend for people to make a connection. But I've been surprised just this last week how many people are taking self-isolation to the nth degree, and it's just not healthy. Get outside, feel the outside air, talk to people. I know you have to keep your social distancing, but that doesn't mean you won't feel better.
If I could jump in here really quick, this person who left this message actually nailed on something that I experienced early on in all of this. And just a persistent sadness. And I was just sad every day. I couldn't shake it. Things have gotten a lot better. I think, you know, finding a new routine, a new norm is pretty good. But how do you know when you need to talk to someone about this versus how do you know that exercise and a new routine is going to help you out versus how do you know when you really do need to address it with help?
Well, Yeah, that's a great question. I would say when in doubt, talk to somebody. Hmm. It's a conversation. It's not going to hurt anything. At the very least, reach out and talk to somebody. A professional would be best. And the reason for that is a professional can help you identify your thought patterns that are contributing to that sadness that you feel. Typically, we have these negative automatic thoughts about the future, about our limitations, and we catastrophize the thinking about what's going to happen in the future. I'm hearing all sorts of things, like somebody was on the phone with me the other day saying they'll never go to a movie again. Oh, that's not true, right? But the reality is we get bogged down in 100 or 1,000 of those thoughts in one day, and we just feel so depressed. So I would say if you're struggling with that at all and you don't have those great friend and family connections, then please reach out to your doctor, to the Safe Utah app, to mental health professionals, and have just one or two good conversations can turn a lot of these depressive thoughts around.
Dr. Yeah. Matt Woolley. Dr. Matt, shortened version of tonight, although we went a little bit, we tried to extend it as long as we could here. We love the tips that you're giving us, and we love this stuff. Every week it's just been snowballing to get bigger and bigger, better questions, people feeling more comfortable sharing those things. You can listen to Dr. Matt's podcast every week. It's with Casey Scott. And if you haven't heard any of it at all, Project Recovery is the name of the podcast. It's a great resource for you as well when it comes to the addiction side of things. It's just that eye-level therapy stuff. So, Dr. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us again this week, man.
Hey, thanks for all you guys are doing. You're really doing a lot to help our community. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Matt. We're going to come right back. We got more to go on the program. We're having a fun time tonight. On top of all that, we've got an Amber Alert, so that's something that we're trying to also process, deal with here. We'll get you that information as much as we can as we get that information as it comes in as well. Stay tuned right here to KSL News Radio, Utah's news leader. Stay with us. All right, thank you to Ricky Meese and the KSL Traffic Center. We appreciate our entire news team who's basically stuck around a little bit longer because of the Amber Alert that was issued this evening at 6:24 p.m. out of Fruitland, Utah. The child abduction victim is Jackson Barlow, 4 years old, wearing a brown button-down shirt, blue jeans, black sneakers, has sandy hair and blue eyes, 3 foot 4 inches tall, weighs about 45 pounds. Out of Fruitland, Utah is where it came in, and it's a dark gray Nissan Altima or Sentra with a broken front hood ornament. So this is the police gray. Are saying you're looking for this dark gray Nissan Altima, possibly a Sentra, broken broken hood logo there on the front, dark gray Nissan. But obviously in the evening that's tough to, as we get darker here, it's very tough to tell. To dial 911 if you are to see a possible vehicle in question when it comes to this. So we're going to take a look at this all night, and we'll make sure that we keep you up to date on those things. But we appreciate our entire news team, including our traffic folks who've stuck around and have helped us out throughout the evening here. And, our entire traffic team does an awesome job every evening of staying through our first hour here of the program, and we appreciate all they do. And Kira for sticking around, and Amber for coordinating everything as well. So, listen, we got a lot to get through still this evening.
Ethan, we do.
You know, I feel really bad for him. We only have a couple minutes to talk about this before we get to our next break again, but I feel extremely bad for the folks who are taking the AP test right now. What a hard time. The hardest tests I took to that point in my life, including the SAT and ACT, were the AP tests that I took in high school. And if you want to text in and weigh in on this, if your teen is going through taking the AP test at basically the worst time, text us into the Utah Community Credit Union text line 57500. And imagine having to retake a stressful AP test as it is because you weren't able to upload the iPhone photos. Ethan, this is happening to a lot of people because AP tests are not accepting these iPhone photos that are coming in via email because they don't upload as the JPEG image that they're required for these tests. And so imagine being like, I just went through the most stressful time of my life. I can't take this AP test. You can't prepare for it the same way. I know a lot of neighbors who've gone through this, and the hardest classes I took in high school, and even compared to some of the college classes that I took, were AP tests and the AP classes that go along with it. So stressful time, and they're trying to figure out how to work people through all this. I've got a solution.
What is it?
You get college credit. You get college credit. everybody gets college credit because these classes are the ones that I looked at, and I never looked up any of my AP classes and went, what a joke that was. They weren't jokes.
No,
they were nothing
serious
to mess with.
Yeah. And it is kind of a joke, though. The fact that the testing portal can handle one type of photo from one type of phone, but not a photo from another type of phone.
Well, not the type of photo that almost everybody from the phone that most people have. Come on.
That is, I mean, did they not test it out? Were they not aware of this?
I don't think there were a lot of things that were tested out before all this, Ethan. I don't think there was a lot of things, because going up to the test, they were figuring out how to do it, like, going into the week of, and they decided, because at one point they were like, no books, and don't you dare think about cheating. Then they said, okay, got to do books. You can do books. You can have an open book, but it's going to be this one test. It's going to be this one question, and you're going to have to do this one essay, and then you're going to have to send it in, and you're going to have to take a picture. All these things have been massively thrown together. And because of that, I think just the test of you going through all this, taking the test, getting it done, figuring it out, you at least get some credit, some college credit for doing this. And
yeah,
and honestly, it's absolutely terrifying to think of people going through this. I just had Kira Hoffel, my executive producer of Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, walk into the studio, and can I have you step over to that one right there, Kira, and I'll get you right on here. I'm assuming this is in coordination with the Amber Alert that's been issued this evening. What do you have for
us? Yeah, we're hearing from the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office that the Amber Alert is being canceled. The suspect has been located in this case. So, again, the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office is canceling this Amber Alert out
of Flint. Best news. Thank you, Kira.
And Kira, do you have any of the details?
She's walking away. Do we have any other details other than this?
Well, I mean, they found the suspect. They found the boy, right? I mean, do we know his status or?
So the only remarks that the Duke County, I don't have my headphones on, so if he asks another question, we let me know. But the Duchesne County Sheriff's Office is just saying that the suspect has been located. They're thanking everyone for their assistance. We have a call into Duchesne County Sheriff's Office. They have not returned it yet.
We'll likely get a newsliner out of that. So appreciate Kira and her team doing all the work this afternoon and getting us that information.
Do you not have headphones in that studio, Alex?
We do. She's choosing not to use them. Okay?
She didn't want to hear from me. I don't want to hear it.
I don't blame her. But best news you can get on an Amber Alert is the Amber Alert has been canceled. The suspect has been located, and that's good. Down in Duchesne County.
And you know what? I really hope there was someone that heard the Amber Alert, saw the car, called 911.
Yes, and good riddance to us having to mention the Amber Alert, because anytime it's still going, it just makes me sick to my stomach.
It's really hard to talk about anything else when you know that that's happening to a family. That's so overwhelmingly more important than anything else.
Hey, the Amber Alert's been canceled, according to the Duchesne County Sheriff's Department. We're going to take the break here. We're going into our next hour of the Nightside Project. Headlines from Ethan Millard and much, much more. Stay with us.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web. And we are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning in to this special limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project. And the big news tonight has been the Amber Alert. The Amber Alert's been canceled. There was a young boy, 4 years old, who was said had been kidnapped out of Fruitland, which is in Duchesne County. Pretty much straight east of here, east-southeast of here. And now they're saying that Amber Alert's is canceled. They found the suspect. We don't have any other information than that, do we, Alex?
Well, and it's mixed at this point too, because we've heard they have found a suspect, and they found the victim during. I would assume that you found both at one point, but we don't have all the details, and I'm not gonna.
Well, there's no reason to get ahead of the details. You're right, Alex. I'm looking forward to finding out the status of the boy.
I'm waiting to find out if, so far our Amber Alert system over the past few weeks, I know we were in quarantine when one went off at 3 a.m. and that really set people in a weird way. It wasn't just that it went off at 3 a.m. It was because it didn't have any information. It was blank, right? You remember that whole situation? And they've put on hold if you're getting KSL notifications or if you're getting text messages from KSL News Radio, you'll get those. And you can get that at just by texting news to 57500. And so what happens is that people you can get those, but they've put on hold the Amber Alerts that you're getting to your phone, like the entire state. And I will just say, like, even tonight there was still a little bit of a lack of information from some of the you know, what we usually get from the sources, right? In this case, it was the Duchesne County Sheriff's Department. There was just kind of a mix. And some people heard over the air the automated system say, and the way that they read the script over the, you know, this automated robot read the script was to dial, not 911, to dial September 1st, 2001. So,
oh, geez.
That's obviously there are things along the way that need to be fixed, but the good news is the Amber Alert's canceled. So there you go.
Well, and you know what, though? I mean, people have been really criticizing this. But I've seen enough from the Amber Alert hosting the Nightside Project to be a believer in the Amber Alert.
For sure. And we've had times like this. If this is one of those cases where they go, dude, you're on the news and they're looking for you and they're coming after you.
We've had
Amber Alerts where they have been found during our show.
We've had Amber Alerts
texting in,
where,
I saw the car, right?
Yeah,
I
mean,
like all that stuff.
We've had Amber Alerts that have been resolved by Nightside listeners.
Yes.
I mean, it's a phenomenal program. We're in this weird time right now where we're throwing everything out with the bathwater, and it's just I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And honestly, I'll tell you what I wish the lieutenant governor had said, because he's kind of been on the forefront of the whole Amber Alert thing. I wish he and the governor would have just said, hey, you know what? We're sorry that it woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but also you're welcome that we even have this. So, you know, get past it, get over it, because this is a program
that
saves lives.
No, wake me up in the middle of the night with the information, though. That was the problem.
It
was broken.
So it blew it on that occasion. What do you want?
No, the last, but
this
the
is
last,
a program
like,
that saves
like
lives,
two,
and
before
we're
that,
just
we're
getting, we're just getting so bent out of shape over little things that go wrong that I don't want to see the Amber Alert program falling victim to what so many other good things in our
Ethan. What
in
are
our
we arguing? What are we even arguing about anymore? You and I love each other, and we love the Amber system. We
You're
love
right.
the Amber
right.
Alert
We're
system.
On the same team.
We're
You're right.
Same
we're on
team.
The same team.
Come on.
We're on the same team.
Now, if I've learned anything from Dr. Matt, it's find that common ground. Let's talk through these things. This is cognitive therapy with you and I. All right. Millard, we got to jump to this next portion of the program. I want to jump into this because you've got your headlines, and I want to roll out some of these things. So go ahead. Give us some of your headlines. Hit me with your best shot, Millard.
All right. Police in Eagle Mountain have arrested Justin Thomas Strasburg for installing garage doors and then stealing garage doors from homes under construction to install more garage doors.
Hold on. So, you said garage doors about seven times. What happened?
So he's in the business of installing garage doors.
Got it.
The way he would do that was by going around to homes under construction and stealing garage doors. And then he would use those to sell to other people.
It sounds like he's got people in the downline, in his downline of garage doors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, man. Like every thief has a downline.
It's like there's a garage door, and you don't actually see the garage door, but you know about it, and like it's the best garage door ever. And my uncle has a garage door, and it saved his life one time.
At the time of his arrest, Strasburg was in possession of approximately $1,500 in stolen garage door components, which, from what I know about garage doors, is basically
one door.
Hardly anything.
I was going to say one panel on one door.
He had some wires in back in there.
So I have to say, so we had garage doors installed on our old house before we moved. One garage, well, it was single garage doors. So think about Sugar House with the single garage door.
Yeah, right? The detached garages.
Detached garage one, because they're like, why would we ever need another car, Martha? You don't know how to drive, and certainly I won't let you.
Like, it's 1930.
So we replaced our garage door with like a real motorized garage door. The guys, and we had to wait weeks for this thing to roll up. They pulled up and they got out of the truck and they walked up. It was like the slowest walk up. I'm like, why are these guys taking so long to walk up? And I looked, and the garage door was on the truck, and it was bent backward, like the panels, right? And I was like, what's going on here? And I come out, and he goes, we were driving down the freeway, and the door flipped up, and it was tied down in the middle, and it bent your door in half. So we're going to have to go, you're not getting your door today.
Wow. You should have called this guy.
I called this guy. He would have been like, I'll install and uninstall your garage door all in one day.
I'll install a garage door. I got to swing past this other neighborhood first.
He's like, I installed your garage door yesterday. How are you liking it? Well, it's not there anymore. Perfect.
Let me know if you need anything else.
Call the customer service hotline if you loved your installation and deinstallation of your garage door. So there you go. All right. What else you got, Millard?
Nothing nearly as hilarious.
All right.
Next up, Alex. I go for the space ones, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love them.
So an astronomer says he's identified the odds of intelligent life existing elsewhere in the universe based on an analysis of both the likelihood of life developing quickly and also whether or not the life would be intelligent. It's basically a large math equation. It's a formula that he said is worked out. He said basically...
Wait, the odds? So the mathematic equation... picks up on the odds of there being life on other planets somewhere
in
the universe?
That's right. Okay. And the likelihood of it being intelligent.
Okay.
So in other words, he's not looking for, you know, fungus.
Right. What's the definition of intelligent, though? I mean, like, let's, you know, what
well,
are we talking
it's,
about
it's
here?
Like so many other things. You know it when you see it. It's hard subjective. To define, but yeah, you know it when you see it.
Sure.
And you know it when you're not seeing it, right?
Or hearing it, sure, yeah. In our case.
Anyway... So,
well, what are the odds? Tell me what the odds. You didn't tell me what the odds were.
Oh, sorry. So the odds are. Hold on. Let me skip down to it. Okay,
that's the only part that I care about. He figured out a mathematical equation on the odds of us having other people in the universe that are alive. Anyway, we're gonna take a break. What was it?
So
what's
he
the
says
number?
That there are basically infinite planets. But if just 0.1% are the right temperature, 0.1% are the right amount of light, 0.1% are the right chemistry, and 0.1% are the right age, your candidate group whittles down so far that you're left with just only a few candidates left. And then he ran the timeline of human development.
Like a few billion?
Just a few.
Because at that point,
just a few candidates.
Yeah, but think about how many trillions of stars there are out there in the universe, bro. So then we're still talking about... Yeah, there's only 400 or 500,000 planets that could be still have. Okay, so what is it?
Yeah. So anyway, the odds are 3 out of 2, which means 3 out of every 5. I'm blowing this. Hang on, I'm blowing this.
This is the best thing that's ever happened.
This is
a
hard.
A math
I'm
explanation.
I'm trying to translate this.
Oh my goodness!
So bring your
14-year-old in
and have him do it,
and have him see if he can figure out what the math is.
So of the Earth-like planets out there,
yeah.
He said that 3 of every 5 reruns turned up with intelligent life. Reruns of his calculation, which
reruns of I Dream of Jeannie, 4 out of 9, 9 out of 4 I Dream of Jeannie episode reruns,
which
come
means
back with
that
intelligent
if
life.
They are like Earth. In yes. terms of temperature
Got
and
it.
Heat and all that stuff, it's 45% chance of intelligent life.
Okay, so there we go. See, it was dire at the beginning, but you're talking about almost a coin toss. Almost a coin toss of just whether or not there's intelligent life out there. All right, that's good. Taking the break here when we come back. We're going to have Ethan take a math test.
I'm doing more math when we come back.
Okay, it's 3 out of 2. And then it's,
you know what's embarrassing is I do math all day at work.
It's really bad.
With people's real money.
Oh, you know what? You've just made everyone feel better.
I know. And I couldn't work my way through this.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more to go on the program when we return. Your stimulus dollars at work. What Amazon is hawking that you need to buy if that $3 trillion stimulus goes through. This is the thing you got to spend it on. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues.
Nightside, we're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Next up in the Nightside Project math class. Alex, that was so embarrassing.
That's fine. That's fine, buddy. Listen, what'd you get on the SATs on the math section?
I wasn't prepared.
What'd you get on the SATs in the math section? Come on.
I don't remember.
Yeah, see? It doesn't matter.
I took the ACT.
Oh, you took the ACT?
Yeah, I think I did. Actually, I'm not sure which one I took.
Didn't you tell me that there was that? Because I remember doing this at one of the schools and feeling really good about myself because my GPA was pretty high in high school. I had I didn't have a great SAT. It was kind of maybe just barely above average. But the GPA and the SAT score set me at it put me firm in that red box of, hey, you're on the quadrant of getting in. And I think I remember you telling me that you were like, look, my GPA and my testing scores after put me in that very final box to get into
the Utah. They had the grid and they had the shaded area.
And it was like, you are here.
And it was the most generous one too. It was for in-state students, the book for the U and, and you did an X, Y thing.
You go to West High School, you should just be able to walk in and say, I went to West. And then they go, all right, I guess we'll let you in.
I agree with that, but that's not how it works, unfortunately. So I had very, very poor grades in high school, but I always tested very well. And so I tested really well on this, on the standardized test, and it landed me in the very, very last shade of box.
It wasn't going to be your GPA.
Had been, 1 point lower on the test or 1 point lower on I would not have been able to get in to a state school. And at a time where I think they've tightened up
it's gotten even more difficult now.
It's gotten more difficult. Back in the day, they were letting everybody in, but I nearly didn't get in. And when they let me in, I was on automatic academic probation. So from day one, they were like, okay, we're going to let you do this. But
so they accepted you, but it was
conditional. Conditional.
It was Millard. I got my eye on you, though. Mm-hmm. You get in here, but I got my eye on you. Okay.
100%.
Let me get into this next portion of the program, Ethan, because Amazon is selling something that I never saw, I found this today and I went, I've never heard of these, but Amazon is selling these tiny houses that you can buy for your backyard, okay?
Okay.
And they are selling out really, really fast. And they said, look, the thing about these houses, they're between 175 and 275 square feet, okay? So they're these kits. They are two-room tiny houses. And they can go I don't know where you would put them. They come in as a kit. They say you build them yourself.
Right.
And they're between. So they're there's one that's selling for $64,000, okay? But the cheapest one is 113 square feet, and it's going for $5,300. That's the most affordable.
Would you think about something like that?
I'm looking at pictures of these.
It's a cool idea.
Well, it's a cool idea, but I'm not kidding when I tell you those sheds at Home Depot or at Costco, those Lifetime sheds or the mm-hmm. ones that were those are as big as these.
The
big ones of those are as big as these. These are just these look nicer. But here's the thing. I want somebody else. These are $6,500, between $6,500 and this one's $9,800. Most of them are about, there's one that's $50,000 on this whole thing. So these are small, tiny homes, but I don't know where you'd put them. In the backyard of your big home?
Yeah.
What are you doing with them? There's no, by the way,
if you've got a
bathroom.
If you've got a hobby. You know what I would do if I had one of those?
Is it just so you could put something together? Your kid lives? Is it basically a nice tree house?
What if your hobby is something like woodworking or some other craft?
Oh.
All right.
Ethan, this is the
rich white people.
If you want to put one of these if you'd like to put one in your backyard, you could.
For your oil painting. Yeah, let's say your hobby is oil painting. To fit with the rich white person music. Well, then, you've got to have a place to put all your stuff.
What do you mean all your stuff? That's a garage. This is
No.
They have the insides of these decorated all nice.
I'm sorry. Do you not have a garage?
I do.
Okay, so then that a garage is a terrible place for a hobby.
Okay,
everyone always says, oh, garage, garage, garage. But that's a garbage place for a hobby because you accumulate things, you run out of space immediately, and also there are cars in there.
You know what this is? This is that she shack they talk about
the she shed.
This is the she shed they talk about on that insurance commercial.
It burns down.
Ethan, while we've got this rich white guy music going on, I wanted to bring this story up. That's coming up later. We'll do that again. I've got another place we can use this rich guy music.
So okay.
I've got all sorts of places we could use rich guy music. But I'm just telling you, if you've got the stimulus dollars that they're talking about rolling out could afford you one of these tiny houses in your backyard. And if you're going to do it right, like, look, this is an extra bedroom for your child, for example, Ethan.
Okay.
Maybe a nursery. I'll tell you, if you've ever been to Scandinavia, they put the little kids out on the porch. So they have them sleep out in the cold, man, to get them used to that cold in those nice in those big old prams. This could be an extension of that. You could put the little kids out there. They could be a nice dollhouse for your sweet little girl. All
you
those
know what?
Things.
I'd put my radio equipment out there.
That would be stolen. Look, the garage installation guy would roll up and steal that thing from you so quickly.
To sell it to another radio station?
To sell to another radio station. Oh, my goodness. All right, bag this music. I'm like, get this thing out of here. Because this, I don't know. I don't know if I can jam
like
on
the
this.
Idea. Look, I was at Costco. You know, they've got some gray Lifetime sheds at Costco.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. And they're like.
And I was like, boy, that turned my head.
They're 10
I was
times
like, you know
less.
What?
They're 10 times less than these, though.
Here's the problem that I've got with our garage. So our garage is a two-car garage. Yeah. Once you get two cars in there, that's it, man.
No, I know. So we're the same way. And it's like, and one of those cars is a Suburban for us.
So you
and
got,
I cannot fit past it. I have to open the garage door to walk past it because the front and the back of it is too long. It's up against one wall and up against the back door.
Yeah. Now,
so I've got to open it to be able to walk around it. Does that
make
sense?
I'm a little fortunate right now because we're a one-car family right now. Because I got rid of the Tacoma.
What are you figuring out, bro? What are you going to do?
You know, I don't know.
You need me to send you some classified cars from KSL, bro?
I don't know what I want to do.
Like, are you too classy now? Are you taking
no,
this?
I just,
are you taking this temporary nightside money and putting it into
a Ferrari? How much are they paying you?
Putting it into that S-Class, bro?
I just want something kind of cool. And I'm willing to, you know, give it a little time.
You are waiting for something cool. Jeez. Well, I thought you, yeah,
used,
you're serious.
I don't have far to go when I drive every day. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I could find something that's not a lot of money. I mean cheap, right? Something that's not a lot of money, but also kind of cool.
We got to you know what we should do? We should make listeners find it for us. 575-00 is the text
number. Will
you
guys find me a cool car?
Find Ethan a cool car, but used. All right?
Used.
And huge and used. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. We've got news, traffic, and weather. And when we come back, I've got other stuff I want to talk about. And I promise we'll use more of that. We'll use more of the rich guy music around the corner. Stay with us on the Nightside Project.
Nightside. 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 This is the Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult. Really difficult.
You.
You're a difficult man.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, the Nightside Project on the air. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. And I guess we're still waiting on details on exactly what went down with that Amber Alert. I've been listening to each newscast, and we're just still waiting on those details,
yeah,
Alex.
It was a weird situation, but I think every Amber Alert starts that way, right? I mean, so getting the details, the good news is that they found the
suspect.
Boy. Yeah. They found the suspect, and they found the boy, and so that's good.
So they're confirming the boy's safe.
Yeah, that was the first one that we heard. So I hadn't heard the suspect one until later. So we're getting conflicting information from two different.
Well, it sounds like it's not conflicting. It's just coming in pieces.
Yeah. Well, there you go. When we get all the information, we'll get it to you as soon as we can.
Millard, we got a lot of stuff to get through still. We got
Alex, you said it.
By the way, two people have texted in what Ethan should get as his used car.
Yeah, let me hear about it.
So, again, give me your – so truck is out because you've already done the truck. Is that right? And you're driving it basically to your office 10 minutes away.
Yes, very close.
So maybe that's the time. Maybe that's the time for you to get something that's a little bit less gas friendly because you don't have very far to go.
So look at this text. You need a Kirkham Cobra.
That's
nothing
what I'm
like
saying.
A polished aluminum 500 horsepower ride that basically is only moving you.
I saw one the other day on the road to my house.
I actually know Dave Kirkham. Dave Kirkham's a friend of mine.
Dave Kirkham's been on the program a couple times.
Yeah.
And so somebody had one, and I know it was a Kirkham Cobra. They were at the light sitting next to me, and I wasn't about to be like, let's go, bro. But I think if you have that car, every stoplight is a race.
Oh.
And so he
so fun.
Definitely hit the gas on that, and it was so loud. And I went, and I could smell that that 427 engine or whatever burning that fuel, and I was like, oh yeah, that thing's loud and proud.
Yeah,
but Ethan,
I don't know if that's for you.
The problem is
I need to be able to have someone offer me one basically at 10% of its value.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. This one said, so here you go. Here's an opportunity for that. I'll sell you my 2018 Honda Civic Turbo, fire engine red, super fun car.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah,
there you go. So. Get Ethan more.
It's a little on the new side, though. 2018. It's only a couple years old.
Yeah. But what do you? It's still used, though.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You say used, or you saying you want a 2004?
I don't mean to turn my nose.
Ethan wants to drive a 2004. Honda CRV. There you go.
You got a great imagination for cool cars, don't you, Alex?
It's got to have 130,000 miles or less, okay?
I tell you that I want to drive something cool and used, and you're like, oh, a 2004 Honda
CRV. Well, but then somebody goes, hey, I've got a 2018 Honda Civic Turbo, and you go, that's a little too new for me.
Well, you're right. I shouldn't just dismiss it. I should not just dismiss it. You're right, because that does sound like a cool – I mean, the Honda Civic Turbo, he's right, that's going to be a massively fun car.
Okay, there you go. All right, so next on the program, Ethan, are you familiar with the fancy breakfast? Because
breakfast cake?
I was going to say, Ethan, we haven't talked about breakfast cake in a couple. Oh,
yeah. Bring back that.
Have you ever had the fancy breakfast?
The rich white person's music.
Yes, or rich cat. This is also the rich cat music that they play on those. On those Whiskers commercials or whatever, yes.
So here's the fanciest breakfast I've ever had.
Let's hear it.
It was at the Grand America Hotel.
Oh, this music is appropriate.
So we had a little splurgy weekend.
Oh.
And we did the brunch. It was a weekend.
Yeah.
And that was the fanciest breakfast I've ever had, but you know what made it fancy?
What did you eat that you were like, wow, this is stepping it up a notch?
So here's the thing: the only thing that makes it fancy is that they have some live music being played, and it's at the Grand America Hotel. Otherwise, it's like
otherwise, what giant?
It's like all the breakfast foods.
But it's better than like going to the Hampton Inn and they're like, and these sausage discs were warmed up this morning, right? That's not what you got, right? Was it like crepes, that kind of thing?
They had sausage for sure.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, but it was classy. It was good.
Right.
High
end. It was breakfast, but classy.
Right.
All I'm saying is it was just all the breakfast foods silver trays.
Fanciest breakfast that I ever had was also a brunch, and it was also at a hotel, a 5-star hotel. It was the Turtle Bay Resort in...
Well, la-dee-da. Turn this music up for Alex.
Hawaii. So here was the deal. Here's how I knew it was. And it was on Easter. And here was the best part. I didn't have to pay for it. So that's the best part. All right?
That is nice.
But they had, aside from like the breakfast fare, things like that, they had so many smoked fish. There was smoked salmon. There was smoked whitefish. There was smoked marlin, Ethan. And I remember thinking to myself... Wow, I'm going to have all this smoked, there were smoked oysters, all this stuff. And I remember getting all this like seafood stuff and going, I don't think I even like half of this stuff. But here we are. I'm getting it. I did the omelet bar. I did all this stuff. So America, you're in a weird spot right now because during all of this, you have found time to be able to cook a fancy breakfast. And so, because you have this extra time, if you're like me at my house, we have had way more pancake breakfast. We've had way more time to get to have nice, some scrambled eggs with some sausage in the morning. During a weekday, you don't have to wait for the weekend. I've made my famous quarantine biscuits a handful of times during all of this. And so there you go. My whole thing is, I love the fancy breakfast. And this article that I read said, making the case for a fancy and fussy breakfast. And breakfast right now, during all of this, doesn't have to be super expensive, but it does. But you should take some extra time and make yourself a fussy breakfast. Making a fussy breakfast lets you check off accomplishments before reality has the chance to set in that the day that you're about to start is going to be really a lame thing.
Here's the problem, though. And now, I appreciate everything this article is trying to say.
Oh, what?
But it's garbage.
You're about to...
And here's why. Here's why, okay?
What?
How early are you going to get up to make this fancy breakfast?
Oh, that's the best part about it.
Four, like, 5 in the morning?
No.
Because guess what? If you wake up at the normal time, make a fancy breakfast, it's a fancy lunch. And then guess what? Who's going to clean that up? Who's going to clean up your three different attempts at a hollandaise sauce?
Three different attempts at hollandaise
sauce. Who's going to clean all that up?
Now, here's the thing. If you're terrible at cooking, Ethan, that sounds like it's your problem.
You know what? I just want to briefly say.
If it sounds like you haven't mastered the whisk.
There is a group out there of lifestyle writers, young lifestyle writers, freelance writers, who have been going just manically writing during the COVID.
Yes.
And they are completely disconnected from reality.
What are you talking about, they're disconnected?
This article.
No, Ethan. We are eating and we are watching and talking about food more than we've done in a long time. Food Network is reporting up to, during the day, a 70% increase in ratings. And they have 50% more men watching during the day. And that's not just a...
You know what's going to fix that? You know what's going to fix that?
What?
Football.
Football, look, sports is definitely...
That's going to fix that.
That's definitely cut into that. But you don't have football during the middle of the day on a weekday. You know what you have? You have Food Network, and the Food Network is saying so many people are absolutely – we are watching TV shows about cooking. We are cooking more than we have ever before.
My kids are getting
better breakfast than they've ever had, and I'll tell you what it is. My kids get up at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, okay, on any given day. And they roll out, and I'm not up yet at 7:30. They go and they make themselves a bowl of cereal. And what my kids get is a fancier breakfast, like with I was about to say spaghetti and meatballs, but with sausage and eggs.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I like making breakfast. So my wife is like, you make whatever you're going to make breakfast, fine. Cause I'm not there at night. She makes dinner at night when I'm not there. So I'll make the breakfast. I'll roll out the pancakes. I'll get the waffles going. I'll get the whipped cream beat up and everything. I'll do all those things because by about 10:30, it's second breakfast. It's Hobbitville at my house. My kids are like, what else we got? Because they ate that cereal 2 hours before, and we're still stuck at home, and I want to eat some normal breakfast, and they want their Hobbit second breakfast, and it meets, and it's an amazing thing. So we have these meals together during the day. There's no time crunch, bro. You got some stuff figured out. And when I just start cooking up some sausage, and kids start floating into the kitchen. What's going on up in here, Dad? And I go, oh, I got some sausage and eggs for you. Do you like that cheesy edge on those scrambled eggs? Because I'll throw some cheese on there. It'll crisp up against the bottom of the frying pan. You got yourself a stew. Boom.
Well, I see what you're saying. We got this text in at 575-00.
Make yourself a fancy breakfast.
It says, my breakfast casserole is 20-minute prep, 45-minute bake. Here's the thing, though. Breakfast casserole, this is Brandon texting in. I recognize the number.
Yeah.
Brandon's not going to make a fancy breakfast casserole. He'll make the kind of breakfast casserole that I want to eat, but it's not the kind of breakfast casserole that this, you know, Slate writer was dreaming about
article. The Slate guy said, hey, treat yourself and spend $29.99 on a grapefruit
and
knife.
And 4 hours.
On a grapefruit knife on Amazon.
I know how Brandon operates, right?
Yeah, no, he's making the good stuff, for sure.
And that's a quick turnaround.
We're taking the break. We got to take a break, Millard.
All right.
We come back. We got your text. What did you learn on the program tonight? 575-00.
And we got Zen Headlines.
We got Zen Headlines as well. End your Nightside Project happy. Yeah, what do you got?
I just wanted to point out that on Twitter.
Oh.
That which is actually kind of where I get my Zen headlines. And Ryan Lunt actually shared another great one with us, but he wasn't the only one to kind of hit us up on Twitter over the last couple of days. Matt Gephardt, which, of course, legendary reporter here at KSL TV, he was on there, and I feel like he was agreeing with me that yesterday you expected me to know the French word for eggplant.
Sounds like you don't even know the English word for it.
It's just a little bit too far. If you've got a, I bring up Twitter because if you've got a Zen headline to share, use the hashtag Zen headlines.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
And share it with us because I would love to use it tonight. Now, Alex, where do you want to start?
Oh, let me see here. Well, first let me fire up you. You keep talking. Hey, you keep
to do the Zen headline now?
You keep everybody distracted. No. I was just gonna play my music though, you know.
Get the music going. I'll do a Zen headline right now. I got no problem with that.
All
and
right.
We'll let a few more texts roll in at 57500. What did you learn tonight on the Nightside Project?
There we go. Got the music going.
Brandon tried to send us a photo of the breakfast casserole.
Oh, you can't do that.
But we can't take pictures on this, so you have to post it to Twitter.
Well, your number was flagged as an inappropriate photo sender. Before.
We can't accept photos from you.
Can't accept those.
We can't from everyone else. But all right, what did you learn at 57500? Here's the Zen headline for today.
Yes.
Even though COVID-19 has ruined graduation plans this year, a Memphis, Tennessee dad made sure that his daughter received a graduation after obtaining her degree at Xavier University in Louisiana. After seeing his daughter upset and crying for a week because she wasn't able to walk the stage, he decided that he was going to make that right. His daughter tells the Fox affiliate there in their area that she went to bed one morning and woke up she went to bed one night, woke up the next morning, and there was a stage, a full stage, sitting in the driveway.
What does that mean, a full stage?
The dad invited presenters, speakers, and neighbors watching in the street.
I love it.
The daughter said, quote, I was just in awe. I was amazed. I couldn't believe a lot of people showed up. People were driving by yelling congratulations. And when you see this, we've got this up on Twitter and you can see it. It really is cool. He really built this stage in their driveway. It's got chairs up there, a podium, everything. So the whole neighborhood was able to share in this young woman's graduation from college. Great job. Great dad. Great Zen headlines. Thank you, Ryan. That was Ryan Lunt that shared that.
Ryan, we appreciate it for Ethan to be able to declare his Zen headlines as great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a great Zen headlines tonight. It was perfect. I just think about all the stuff that people are going through, man. You deserve a fancy breakfast, Ethan. You know what? You're complaining about the last segment.
I don't want a fancy breakfast.
You know what it did? You know all it did? It just showed. I just want to give you a big virtual hug, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
Listen, breakfast cake is good, but let's get some caviar on those eggs, buddy. All right? You deserve it.
Let me tell you something, man. I've never been like a big breakfast guy. I like breakfast and things, but in my mind, it's like, let's get some metabolism going. Let's get some calories going, and then we're done. I like fancier dinners. I mean, that's like maybe lunch, dinner. That's where I kind of want to spend my time. In the morning,
meh. Well, that's meh. It. No, and that's the thing is, like, I'm a breakfast person. I love me some breakfast. My wife is like, I hate breakfast. Let's not do it. So it's part of the deal. I learned that Alex makes spaghetti and meatballs as part of his fancy breakfast. It came out wrong. I meant sausage and
sausage and meatballs. Yeah, we got it.
Sausage and meatballs. Spaghetti and sausage. Hey. This one says, I have a 63 Karmann Ghia for Ethan's used car. Can't beat a totally original classic.
Oh, okay. All right. See, now we're, that might be kind of fun to drive around, right?
Yeah. It sounds like, what it sounds like? There's going to be a lot of mornings you're not going to be able to get it started. That's one of those cars, like, in my mind, it doesn't start.
Well, we get a fair bit of snow, too. There might be mornings I can't even if it starts.
Well, no, but, you have a hill that's by you. Get it started get it going down the hill, pop the old clutch.
I'm at the wrong end of the hill, though.
Oh, you got to go uphill?
I'm at the bottom of the little hill. I got to go up to get out of my neighborhood. So that wouldn't work.
Let me see here.
Here's what I learned. I learned watching NASCAR live in my garage during a pandemic and streaming Nightside was a win-win.
Yeah, congratulations. Who'd you put on mute? NASCAR or us? Because it'd be weird if you're streaming us and we're on mute and you're just listening to NASCAR. Defeats the purpose.
Let's
see.
How
does the cooking show know that men are watching the show and not the women? It's not about that. They know. They know who's watching. They were just saying that in the ratings, they're able to determine. Well, and
but hold on. I object though to the idea that only women watch cooking shows. Men don't like food.
Oh, I love man.
Alton
I'll
Brown.
Tell you.
I went and saw Alton Brown's live show when his Alton Brown had a nationwide tour. He came to Salt Lake.
You guys
and
have about
20 there.
Minutes. Ethan's going to go off on a story about Alton Brown and how he wasn't called up on stage. Some lady who totally didn't appreciate being up
she
on stage.
Did not, she I could tell she was in over it.
She's like, who is this guy?
She got called
My
up
husband.
On stage.
You know what
to
it
interact
is?
With Alton Brown, and she did not belong there.
She didn't. And she went up there because her boyfriend or her husband were the ones who liked Alton Brown. Those are the ones who liked it. And then she got invited up there. Yeah, but listen, I'm the same way. Listen, the Great British Bake Off, the Great British Baking Show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Best. It's the
oh,
best.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But you got to watch the original, like, maybe three or four seasons when it's Mary Berry and...
Paul Hollywood.
Paul Hollywood. Yeah. Because otherwise, then they split the team up because it got too cool for everybody, and then it's just weird. I learned that Ethan hates people who ask what the flight attendant just said.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
She's holding out a bag of pretzels, and she has the drink cart.
And she's like, and you're like, I'm sorry, what? You take off your headphones. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I just wanted to know, how did you get those such blue, dreamy eyes? Like, come on. You know what she's asking you. What do you want to drink?
You guys,
the ginger ale?
Coming
do you
on
want
me.
The
she's
ginger ale?
Right,
or do you want the Bloody Mary mix? Those are the only two things we offer on this dumb flight.
And the cranberry juice cocktail.
And the cranberry juice cocktail. Hi, do you have an apple juice? People are asking for juice they never drink.
Do you have mango juice?
It's like the dumbest. Like, you don't go home and go, honey, where's the 64 ounces of apple juice?
It's like on Baskets. You remember that scene on Baskets when they go to Hardee's or whatever?
Yes.
Do you have a grape Schweppes?
Grape Schweppes.
Schweppes.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, on planes, they have Schweppes. I'm telling you, they have Schweppes. 57500, what else did you learn on the program? Somebody accused you of calling, of saying... They're called flight attendants. They are not called stewardesses. And that's the point we were making, is that's the thing you don't call them anymore. That was the point.
Alex.
And this is the point, Ethan. We don't call them that anymore, dude. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's a steward or a stewardess.
There's stewards?
I don't know. I was assuming if there's a guy, yeah. A flight steward? Come on. I don't know. I could get into so much trouble. These days you can get in a lot of trouble.
This is where we've arrived for the show tonight.
Yeah.
This is how we know that
it's good.
We're near the end.
At least we aren't talking like Prince Charles, the fruit and vegetologist of Great Britain.
We've got to get Fruit Charles. We've got to get Prince Charles.
Fruit Charles is the new character. That's it. Fruit Charles is the new guy. Fruit Charles is a hello, Fruit Charles. Yeah.
He's a mix of apple and dates.
Have you ever been on an airplane and asked for cranberries? I'm there. It's me, Fruit Charles. Oh right. My goodness! The music stopped, which means
I mean we're done, right? How long? How much longer are we
going
to drag
just
this show?
Just 5.5
on?
More minutes, Ethan. Keep going.
All right, I can
I'm
keep
just
going.
Kidding. No, of course.
I got one last.
What do you have?
What
do you have?
I learned that I'm going to Alex's house around 10 a.m. for second breakfast.
Oh yeah, you got to look.
You're going to be early for first breakfast.
I'm telling you, we have heavy whipping cream in the fridge.
I
mix it.
Wonderful.
I love it.
It's wonderful.
All right. For our producer, Jeremy, Amber, hitting all the buttons. Muchas gracias to those guys every night. For Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody. Hey, KSL's Unrivaled, next, live. Ethan, disconnect so we can get Scott on the horn.
All
see ya.
All right, you got it.
KSL-FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.